Surprise! Happy Friday, everybody.
What are we doing?
This is unusual for us. I know. If you're watching and you're wondering what the heck is going on, it's not Tuesday. You are correct. You don't need to double check your calendar. You are correct. It's Friday.
Consider this a bonus.
We thought we would surprise you guys with a bonus episode because you guys have been treating us so well and it's been so much fun and we just thought we would do it a bonus episode.
Yeah, a little while ago we had a wedding. We did a weddings theme. It was one of our first episodes. It's quite a while ago now, but we had a lot of stories that we didn't get to read. So we're like, oh, why don't we do another little episode? We're kind of ahead of schedule right now with our editing. So why don't we film one and maybe we'll throw it out there on a Friday and give you guys a curveball. Don't worry, we still got another one coming next Tuesday as well. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that. And just consider this a little Friday bonus.
Bonus, yes. Oh, Jack.
We had the whole Thread Talk family here with Jack and Luna up in their stands. Jack's trying to escape right now. Just stay, buddy. Why do you have to leave?
He's not comfortable.
He's not comfy. If you pet him, it like slows him down. And he's gone. And he's out. Okay. Bye, Jack. He needs to go eat.
Luna will stay.
Luna's still
next
clocked in.
Next time we should try putting Jack up there, but I don't know if he'll stay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Luna really likes that spot.
Luna's a hard worker at the biscuit factory. Yeah, Jack's a slacker.
Before, Luna was never in our podcast. Now she's the main character.
Yeah, I don't think Luna would stay there.
No, she wouldn't stay here.
No, Jack could stay up there possibly. Maybe. He'd feel trapped, but it's so weird. I thought he would like that because we put the blanket there. I thought he'd be good.
He loves the blanket.
Very odd. Well.
We tried.
Yeah. So this is going to be episode 19.
Oh my God.
If you guys enjoyed our last episode with Kat and Megan, let us know down in the comments and, you know, give us the love. We are blowing up everywhere. So everybody, thank you guys so much for all of your support. Smash the like button, following us on all of our platforms, especially YouTube. If you guys have anything to say off of this episode, check us out on YouTube, drop a comment. We try to reply to all the episode, all the comments on the full YouTube episode. It's getting to the point where it's very hard to track the Instagram, the TikTok, and the YouTube short comments because there's so many of them. So most of the comments that we're going to be responding to for now on will probably just be the full episodes on YouTube just because it's getting to be hundreds of comments every day.
Yeah, exactly. And I do look forward to all of your... Most of the ones on our full YouTube episodes are really nice and they're motivating. Keep us going.
Yeah. But if you want to do some shit talking, I can handle it. Just direct it towards me.
Not me, please.
All right. Are you ready to get into this episode?
I'm ready. So yeah, we're doing a wedding 2.0. It's not going to be as long as our usual episodes, but we have a few stories.
A few good ones.
To share.
A few good ones.
We've been planning our
wedding.
Honeymoon.
Oh yeah. We've been doing some honeymoon talk. Yeah. My plan... I would like to, because we are flying to Italy for our wedding. So we're already going to be around Rome. I would love to go to the Maldives for a honeymoon. I feel like that is just an epic and amazing place. So I would like to go from Rome to the Maldives. That is like a 16-hour flight with one layover in Dubai. And then you go there and we'll be there for... then you also have to fly from the airport to the resort, little water plane. Beautiful resort. It looks great. And then the way home, though, is a very, very long flight from the Maldives to Toronto with at minimum one layover in Dubai. So what I would like to do is stay in Dubai for another couple days, like 4 or 3 to 5 days maybe. And then the flight from Dubai to Toronto is still like 18 hours. It's still a very long time. So I was like, I looked at the prices, and it's the same price to fly from Dubai back to Toronto here as it would be to fly from Dubai to Portugal and then from Portugal to Toronto. And then we'll just stay in Portugal for a little bit, breaks up the flight because that's still like an 8-hour flight. And then another 8-hour flight home from Portugal can make them in nonstops. And I just thought that would be great. But Teresa thinks that that's too much traveling for a honeymoon.
It's a lot. It's a lot. We're already doing a wedding in Italy. That's already going to be a lot. And then Denver wants to go to like 3 freaking destinations. I'm like, I'm just going to want to relax. Like the flight itself sounds, it sounds like hell, honestly. It sounds like something I would never want to do. And I don't know if staying on a resort for 5 days, relaxing, yes, it's going to be beautiful.
But like, we
is
would
it worth it?
Swimming with the dolphins, what? Scuba diving in the crystal blue water, sun tanning, swim up pool, sandy beach.
But we can
beach,
do that anywhere.
Massages. It's Maldives. Can't Maldives is not anywhere. Maldives.
Yeah,
is
but there's beaches amazing. Everywhere. For me, it sounds like a lot of extras that I don't really want to go through, but we will talk about it.
And for me, I'm like, it sounds like a lot. That's amazing. I love a lot.
Yeah.
And Teresa's like, this is too much.
Ideally, I think my top choice is just going to Portugal. We want to do like the islands of Portugal. So I think Madeira. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I think Madeira and Azores.
Yeah. And of course, it's going to come down to budget as well. And you guys could help out with that just by hitting the like button on YouTube. That's all we ask. Just hit the like button on YouTube. It helps us out. But if the budget is there, my trip idea would be amazing. So what I need to do, what we like to do sometimes is we will put together a PowerPoint presentation pitch of why we should go to this place. Last time we did it, Teresa did one for Iceland. I did one for Hawaii. And guess where we ended up going? California.
We didn't go to either.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, let's put together presentation pitch for the honeymoon. I'm going to price out. I'm going to do the flights. I'm going to do all the math. I'm going to figure all of this stuff out, figure it out. And then I'll do my pitch. And we'll see who wins.
Yeah, we'll probably end up going to like Barbados or something. Yeah, something that's not on the PowerPoint.
We're going to Hawaii. Maybe Iceland.
That's a good idea.
Could do Iceland. I want warm. I want tropical.
Iceland could be like an anytime type of travel.
But. Yeah. And before we were even talking, like before we go to Maldives, like we would go and do like 6 days in Italy after the wedding, go down to Capri.
Capri, yeah.
Capri. I don't know. And like, so like there's so much opportunity for adventures here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much room for activities.
Yeah. It's a lot.
And it's also like, how much time can we take off work?
Yeah.
That's a big factor. So. We have decisions to make.
Yeah, decisions. But that's a little update for us.
Yep.
That also inspired us to do another wedding episode. We had like quite a bit of stories from the last time we did a wedding episode, which I think was like episode 5.
Yeah, I think so.
So it wasn't like too many episodes ago, but...
Babe, we're on episode 19.
Okay, so 14 episodes ago.
Months ago. That was episode 5.
It was
5,
one of our first.
A long time. Weddings was episode 5.
Yeah.
That's... 14 episodes ago.
Okay. Wow. Well,
time flies.
Yeah. So we've been hoarding these. Well, Denver had quite a bit of wedding stories. I had to find a couple this morning.
I did. Some of them were deleted, so it's okay. But let's get into it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Who wants to start?
Okay, I'll start.
You got this.
Yeah.
Start us off.
This one, actually, I was supposed to read last night when we were filming with Kat and Megan.
Ooh.
We didn't have the time. We ended up filming for like 4 freaking hours.
That was a long episode. Kat had a little bit too much wine. Oh my gosh, that was a good episode.
Near the end, you could see she starts getting quiet. And it's just me, Denver, and Megan talking for like a half an hour. And then we're like, Kat, are you okay? Like after we stopped the episode, we're like, Kat, hey, like, are you okay? You just stopped talking. She ended up being really sick. She's like, I am so drunk. Like, they had a lot of wine. So.
Me, I drink and I talk more. Kat hits a limit and she's like
zoned out.
Zombie mode.
Yeah. So if you noticed that on the last episode, that's why.
Yeah, that was good. We have to do another one with them in the future.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Excited for that. All right, Teresa.
Okay, sorry.
Get us into the story.
All right. So it comes from Petty Revenge. Ruin my wedding to propose. I'll ruin your proposal. I, 35 male, have a young brother, Todd, 29 male, who had a complicated birth and had to stay a month in the ICU, and because of that, my parents have always doted on him and almost denied him nothing, even if it was to the detriment of my sister, Abby, 32 female, and I. My brother drinks in on the attention and has, on more than one occasion, made himself the center of attention as either my sister's, or a cousin's special event. Because of this, Abby and I have a strained relationship with Todd and our parents. Unfortunately, Todd met and fell in love with Lucy, 24 female, who announced her own pregnancy at the baby shower my mom held for Abby. When I proposed to my wife, Michelle, 30 female, I just wanted to elope, but she really wanted her family to be there, so I invited my family out of obligation. While out, my best man, Jim, 35 male, noticed a receipt from a jewelry store slipped out of Todd's pocket. Jim confronted Todd about this, which had led to an argument. Jim told me everything, and I told Todd that he was no longer going to be groomsman because I knew he was going to propose at my wedding. Todd cried to our parents, which led to a blowout. In my parents' eyes, since Todd never admitted that he was going to propose to Lucy at my wedding, I was unfairly judging him. I refused and brought up Todd's past behavior. My parents couldn't refute this and got Todd to agree to not try anything at my wedding. This wasn't enough to convince me to let him be a groomsman, but I warned him that if, as a guest, he'd try anything, I would make him regret it. Fast forward to the wedding, and surprise, surprise, Todd walked over to Lucy and proposed to her during Michelle's father-daughter dance and did it in a way so that everyone would notice. Cue my revenge. Jim and I hired a woman to pretend to be Todd's side piece, who cornered Todd and Lucy and claimed she was pregnant with his baby. Todd denied this, but when she called his phone, I gave her his number and messed with Todd's phone to incriminate him. It didn't look good. Lucy threw the ring back at Todd and left in tears. When Todd saw the smile on my face, he knew that it was me, and I didn't respond to a single call or text from him or my parents until after the honeymoon. Lucy had thrown Todd's stuff out and has been denying access to their kid. Todd is furious and is demanding that I clear his name. I sent him a text saying that I had no idea what he was talking about, as well as a screenshot of a bill for the wedding, and gave a vague message demanding reimbursement for half of the wedding costs. Michelle knew the whole time what I was planning and gave me the green light after Todd ruined her moment with her dad. So it felt pretty good, but now even Abby thinks I went too far.
Yeah, you kind of went a little bit far,
no.
But I approve.
No,
sometimes
he didn't go far.
It's okay to be the asshole. Like, you're being a big asshole in this situation, but it's warranted.
Yeah, it's definitely warranted.
I guess, like, I just, the part where, like, he has a kid and now his life is actually getting more fucked. His whole life is getting fucked up from this petty revenge. Like, there's revenge and then there's life-altering revenge. And that's what's happening now. He's kicked out of his house, can't see his kid. Like, he's going through a big fucking thing. So, like, there's revenge of, like, putting laxative in someone's food for stealing it, and you got to go shit for a couple minutes, but, like, you're going to be fine.
That's
overall
true.
This is some altering. Is it warranted? Yeah. Are you an asshole? You kind of are. If you're okay with being the asshole, hey, man, I'm on board. I think I'm all for what you did. I'm not saying shame on you or anything like that, but if the question is, did you go too far? Are you the asshole? You're kind of the asshole. You kind of went a bit too far. Like, in theory, it seems funny, but there's maybe another way to get your revenge without destroying his life.
That is fair.
Like, you could have just had a security guard waiting and literally kicked him out of the building. Like, that could have been you could have had security being like, if you see him propose, he's been told not to propose. Like, escort him off the venue, don't talk to him, cut him from your life. What you did is you kind of framed him, and now you're destroying his relationship. So, yeah, I would say it's kind of too far in a bit.
Fine.
Yeah, I think so.
You're the voice of reason. Top comment.
Hey, I am being a voice of reason, but Denver would have fucked some shit up. Denver would have done the exact same thing. I'm talking in third person because, like, from an outside view, I know for myself, I would be petty. I would be on that level of petty.
I don't
but
think you
the
would.
Question was, did you go too far? And I think he did go too far. Now, I would do that. I have no problems with doing that. I like going too far. But if you have to step back and be like, did I go too far? Like, you kind of fucked up his life. Like, you got him kicked out of his house. He can't see his kid. That's kind of far.
Okay. You are correct. I do agree with that. I think he should have embarrassed him in a way.
No. He could have done the exact same thing. But just don't question if you went too far or not. You did go too far.
Well, I think
he should be okay with it.
I think you should maybe, like, clear his name.
Like, I think at this point now, he should clear his name. Yeah. Like, if he refuses to ever clear his name, that's going too far.
Yeah.
But I think you, at this point, should tell her, it was a lie. I did this because he's a fucking piece of shit. And I told him not to propose at my wedding. And then he proposed at my wedding. So this was my revenge that I planned.
And then just cut them off.
Because I knew he was going to do it. And cut them off.
Yeah. And then that's it.
But I think, you're going too far if you're not going to tell her. And you're not going to clear his name. You are going too far. Like, if you, so if you clear his name and you let everything settle, that's not going too far. That's a great revenge plan and stuff.
Yeah,
but if you're not willing to tell his now ex-fiance or whatever that it was all of you, you're going too far.
Yeah, I agree. Top comment, during the father-daughter dance?
Yeah, that's fucked up.
That's insane.
Like, you couldn't do it when everybody is just drinking, wasted on the dance floor.
Yeah.
You did it during one of the dances. Like, you're a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
I feel like I would want a bit more from him to get the apology. Like, I would try to squeeze a little bit more out of him. Like, fucking get on your knees, beg. You need to apologize to my wife. You need to do more stuff before
dad.
I admit anything. I would try to stay strong, but at the end of the day, I feel like you gotta tell the girl that.
Yeah, like, how sorry is he? It depends how sorry he is and what he's
it's
done.
It's like, if you're not sorry at all, it's like, okay, well fuck you, man. You reap what you sow. You apologize, you're sorry and stuff. Okay, now it's time to apologize. But it sounds like he's not even sorry either.
Yeah, so rest of the top comment. During the father-daughter dance, that's insane. I love what you did. Maybe time to go no contact instead of low contact. You have your new family now.
No, I like low contact because I would want the text to come in of him still, like, begging and pleading. I wouldn't block anybody. I like to see
that's
how
true.
Desperate you are.
Plead.
Low contact is like, I am no contact, but I will still invite your...
I'm no contact.
Yeah, I'm not contacting you back, but you're not blocked.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yep, that's all.
I love it. That's great. Whoo. All right, moving along. Hello from the future. If you guys are watching on YouTube, you can see that we're in slightly different clothes because we are filming this at a future time than we film the rest of the episode. And you may be wondering why we're doing that. Well, we are plugging in the update number 7 to the Bride Makes a Profit from the Bachelorette Trip. So we have been following this story for a very long time, since back to episode 10. And then we had an update on episode 17. And in between that time, we had the owner of the story, Juliet Pepperwood. She actually sent us an email directly with the story so that we can read it here for you guys to give you guys an update, since there's a little bit of sticky issues there with Reddit that, we don't want to get into that too much, but we have the update for you. So I'm going to get into it, and Teresa is going to be shocked.
Blind reaction here.
Let's
go.
Can't
wait.
So, update number 7, the missing $7,000. This update's coming from April 7th, 2024. All right, friends, if you're still with me on this wild ride, it's time to spill some of the final tea in this crazy kettle. I want to start with the details of the sister-in-law's illicit affair with the plastic surgeon. Much of the detail was provided to me by my brother. When he ended the engagement, he asked sister-in-law to give him the whole truth. After all, it's the least that she could do for him. She fessed up, and my brother has given me permission to share. So here's what happened. The wife learned about the affair thanks to a pair of Tiffany diamond earrings, which apparently went missing from her jewelry collection. At some point, she goes down to the hospital to bring her husband lunch and sees a female patient wearing the exact same pair of earrings that she lost. And you guessed it, that patient was our beloved bride.
Ooh.
Now, I don't know the entire timeline on when she noticed these earrings went missing, but I do know that she saw my sister-in-law wearing the earrings at the hospital while getting the consultation for her free melon job. This would have been long before the Bachelorette trip, most likely on one of their earlier visits while sister-in-law was flying out of town to see him. The wife at some point brings this up to her husband, the surgeon, who probably plays it off as a coincidence.
In her confession to my brother, sister-in-law admitted to stealing the wife's earrings during one of their visits. The surgeon demanded them back after realizing the wife spotted sister-in-law wearing them that day. Oh my God. Problem is, sister-in-law doesn't have the earrings anymore. She claimed that she lost them. She asked the surgeon how much the earrings cost and swore she would make amends by sending him the money. He reveals they are from Tiffany's and cost about $7,500.
No way.
And there you have it. The mystery of the $7,000 is solved.
You're joking.
When sister-in-law's father offered to cover the cost of the Airbnb, she probably saw a golden opportunity to snag almost the full amount of the money she needed to cover the earrings. She did admit to my brother that she sent her dad's money to the surgeon after he paid for the Airbnb. And to be honest, I don't know who's crazier. The sister-in-law for stealing the earrings or the surgeon for continuing to have an affair with someone who literally stole from his wife. Anyway, back to the story. So, I'll never know if the surgeon gifted his wife a pair of new diamond earrings or not, but I do know that she didn't let her suspicions go. I don't know for sure if the earrings were the giveaway or if she found out later. She ended up getting sister-in-law's name somehow and looking her up on social media. How she ended up at the family home, I'll probably never know, but I'm sure anyone with a name and a mission can find an address online. I'm not at liberty to share the details of the confrontation between sister-in-law and the wife. This update ends here. I'll be back with one more for you soon.
Oh, no way. There's another?
I think she was just saying like she wants to update with like how her brother's doing.
Okay.
And but I think that's pretty much the end of the story. Okay, but yeah. If there is any more in the future, I'm sure she'll send it to us and I'm sure we'll be able to spill the tea for you guys.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wow. So, but what happened to the Tiffany earrings then? She actually lost them?
Yeah, maybe.
How do you lose Tiffany earrings that you stole?
Well, I mean, she sounds dumb on a lot of different levels.
Yeah, for real.
That doesn't surprise me too much.
That is fair.
You wow. Let everything else happen. Yeah.
Okay. So to recap.
this whole story.
She got her bridesmaids to pay her
$650 each
for a villa. For her bachelorette trip, they paid.
Mm-hmm.
Her dad ended up paying for the villa.
Yep.
She says she got an ice sculpture for it.
Yeah, the ice swan. I almost forgot. Wait, there was an ice swan in the middle of this.
Why would she lie about that? She lied about it, right?
Yeah. But like, what's your plan when the ice swan isn't at the wedding?
No, exactly. And I have questions about the actual like boob job too still, because if she was planning to do the boob job this whole time, she planned all those activities.
And the themes and everything.
Yeah.
It seemed like a lot. Pretty excessive.
So it's like, okay, obviously, like, your bridesmaids, if they weren't mad at you already, they would have been mad at you for, like, making them get all those outfits and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had a boob job, so you can't go out and do these activities.
Like, yeah, she's crazy. And she just left the house with nobody knowing, and they show back up with nurses, and everybody's like, what is wrong with her? And then the nurse is like, we're not at liberty to say. And then they finally find out she got a melons.
I don't know. It just sounds like she's either really, really, really dumb, or like, I don't know, some details are missing maybe.
Well, she's saying it from her point of view, so she doesn't have all the information, right? There could be a lot more to this story that we are unaware of.
That's crazy.
We need a sister-in-law's side of the story.
We do.
But crazy people don't usually write about their stories.
I know Juliet Pepperwood was saying that she doesn't want anybody speculating on who the surgeon was. But I'm really hoping
TikTok finds out.
Well, I'm not gonna advocate for that because I don't want her to get in trouble. Mm. But I want to know who this influencer is, like the sister-in-law, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure one of those TikTok detectives will find out and tag us. So that's all I'm gonna say.
We can't encourage that.
We do not encourage it. But if it happens, just let us know.
We're curious.
We recommend that you do not do that. But if someone does do it, please make us aware of it. All right. That is all I got from the future. Back to the regular episode. I've got one from Am I the Asshole? Am I the asshole for having a surprise wedding at mine and my husband's engagement party? Hmm.
Background. My father, 66 male, suddenly passed away in February. It's been a big shock and adjustment for everyone. Now, my husband, 35 male, proposed to me, 33 female, back in March. He had already talked to my mom and dad about proposing. I am not a big fan of big parties, so husband and I decided to do a small celebration for our engagement, have a nice meal at a fancy hotel, everyone can dress up. The more we planned and the more we talked about it, we thought it would be fun to just get married. We have been together for almost 10 years. Neither of us wanted a big wedding, so we thought a small surprise wedding would suit us. Especially with my dad passing away, I didn't want a traditional big white wedding. We invited 10 people, my mom, sister, and her partner, his mom, dad, brother, his partner, and daughter. We also invited our best friends, who are also in a relationship. All goes to plan. Everyone arrives, they are escorted into our reserved room, where they see a big sign saying, "Welcome to the wedding of husband and OP." Mm-hmm. Everyone is surprised. Our officiant gets people into places, husband and I walk in together, and we got married. Both moms sign the marriage certificate, and we go to sit down for our meal. Everyone seemed happy at the time. People were laughing, saying they should have expected it. We had a photographer there to catch the reaction, ceremony, and pose for pictures after. We went away locally for a small honeymoon. When we have gotten back, both of our moms have pulled us aside separately to say that they were disappointed in us, that we have taken away their opportunity to be there with us when we chose a venue and we did all of the other wedding planning stuff. They are both especially upset that they never came wedding dress shopping with me, which is kind of ironic because I didn't even do that. I bought an emerald green 1950s bodycon pencil dress online. It was the first and only dress I even tried on. So am I the asshole for taking away everyone's chance to be involved with our wedding?
No, not at all. And I love that idea. I think that's a great idea, honestly. If you weren't planning, there's no need to have multiple parties. And your parents, and there's going to be a theme in this episode because I have a couple of stories like this. And I'm going to say this a few times. It's not about you. It's only about the bride and groom. Your moms, yes, sure, they want to be a part of the wedding or whatever and have a say in your big day, but it's your big day, not theirs. It's not about them.
We'll agree with that. Yeah.
Don't tell me you disagree.
No, I agree with this one. Okay. Yeah, I'm on board. It's your wedding. You can do what you want to do. And 100%. It's like, yeah, it's a nice surprise and it suits them and stuff. And it's like, you just have to be okay with the fact that, yeah, some people are probably going to be disappointed. Why, and you're going to have to weather that storm or, you know.
No, you shouldn't expect people to be disappointed. Why?
Well, weddings are a big thing, and especially for parents, you know, only kids and stuff like that.
That's their problem, though.
Yeah, right. But it's, you know, being respectful of their emotions and opinions. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have done it. I'm just saying that they should, you know, be prepared that not everybody is going to be psyched, and some people might feel slighted.
That's bullshit. I think that's total bullshit.
Well, I'm just saying, we're planning an Italian wedding. We are doing a flyaway wedding.
Yeah.
And I'm doing that for us. But I also understand that maybe there are some extended family members that are going to feel a little slighted that they don't get to come to the wedding. And that's something that I'm okay with dealing with.
Yeah. But it's like, they would never come up to us and be like, "Hey, we don't like that you're doing this."
No, because it's not our parents. But I can guarantee you that if we did something like that, or we eloped or anything, your mom would feel slighted.
Yeah, and I would say this is what we want.
Exactly. You would be prepared to handle your mom's emotions. All I'm saying is that they, you know, they're not the asshole, but I think they should have just not been surprised when both of the moms are like, "We're sad. We missed out."
But they still had a wedding. They didn't miss out. They were still there. They had the wedding. Correct. Like, they were a part of the wedding.
Yeah.
So this is a different story. It's like the story.
Wedding planning they missed out on.
What part of wedding planning is there? Like,
venue.
They had 10 people.
Like, not a wedding.
It sounded like they would have had a small wedding if it was planned in a year from now. It still would have been the same thing. What is there to plan?
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing with you. I think you're getting twisted here. You're getting riled up.
I'm getting riled up because you're defending them.
No, I'm just saying that they should have expected that their moms were probably going to be a little upset about it.
I just don't see why. Like for the wedding.
It's not normal. It's not traditional. It's not normal. They should just not be surprised that their moms are a little hurt.
Literally fuck traditions. That generation needs to understand times have changed and we want what we want. And I might be projecting a little bit.
A little bit. A little bit. A little bit. Okay. All right. Let's move along.
All right. This one was posted 6 hours ago. Am I the asshole for stealing a family tradition from my sister-in-law after she gained weight? Okay, so I, 28 female, am married to my husband of the same age. We have been together a long time and I'm super close with his family. I'm glad I never had one of those dragon lady mother-in-laws. So my sister-in-law is engaged to her fiance, who seems like a nice man. My mother-in-law kept her wedding dress from when she got married, and something she really wanted to do was have her daughter take photos in the dress. She mentioned this a few times before the wedding. My mother-in-law didn't want my sister-in-law to wear it down the aisle or anything. She just wanted some photos. I was at the dinner party when they were discussing it, and I guess my mother-in-law felt a little guilty about the fact that I never wore it at my wedding, even though she views me as a daughter. I really didn't mind at all, but she kept apologizing. In the months leading up to the wedding, my sister-in-law kept gaining weight rapidly. My husband said she was depressed and stressed and always resorts to food whenever she gets like that. I understood. Her wedding dress was tailored so it fit her on her wedding day. However, the mom's dress did not fit her. Her and mother-in-law were sad about it, but they went on with the wedding as normal. After sister-in-law came back from the honeymoon, mother-in-law asked if she thinks she'll ever lose weight to put on the dress. I will admit, the way she asked at dinner with everyone around was very rude and awkward. Sister-in-law said they could just get the dress tailored, but mother-in-law refused and said she would just save it for the grandkids. I want to say a week later, mother-in-law invited me over and tells me how badly she wants to see a child of hers wear her dress and how she doesn't know if she'll even be alive to see a grandkid wear it, and this was her dream. So I agreed to wear the dress and take a few photos for her. I was a little too big, but I went in, so we just didn't take photos where you could see the back. That wasn't zip. After my mother-in-law had processed the photos or whatever, she put them in frames in her house. Next time everyone was over there, people noticed it. Most of the family was just like, it's nice to see a tradition. You look so pretty, blah, blah, blah. My sister-in-law was quiet, so I assumed she was sad, but after the dinner, me and my husband went home, and sister-in-law calls him crying, saying that I was evil and insensitive for stealing that from her. She said other stuff my husband wouldn't tell me. I texted my mother-in-law about it to see if everything was okay, but she just told me not to worry about it because sister-in-law is just being overly sensitive. I do feel kind of bad because I know this was supposed to be a mother-daughter tradition, and I understand why sister-in-law was hurt. Usually I tend to think I'm always right, but I do think I maybe should have just declined mother-in-law's request. So am I the asshole?
No, I don't think so. Like, you did a genuine, weird, nice thing for your mother-in-law. It's a little odd, a little weird. But I mean, you did it at her request. It was like the dream that she wanted to have fulfilled. She's bringing up passing away before she sees someone at the dress. And you just did a photo shoot in her dress and that made her happy. A little weird, but I don't think you're the asshole. Sister-in-law made a big stink about not wearing it and all this stuff. So I don't think so.
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think she's an asshole for sure.
Why? What?
Because this was her sister-in-law's moment to have.
Sister-in-law said she didn't want the moment.
No, she did want it. She just couldn't fit in the dress.
Oh.
And the mom is like, oh, are you ever going to lose weight so you can fit in the dress? And then she said, well, why don't we just get it tailored so you can see me in it?
Yeah. 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 I don't know. I
think she stole this moment from her.
Yeah, she did. But mother-in-law is the asshole.
Yeah.
She's not the asshole. She just didn't know when. No, she didn't initiate it. She didn't ask to do it. She was doing a favor for her mother-in-law. And I just don't think that makes her the asshole. Mother-in-law is the own asshole. And she was just trying to be like nice and stuff. Like, she could have been maybe not trying to be as nice and being like, you know, maybe you should work it out with sister-in-law or whatnot. But I wouldn't say asshole. I would say not knowing how to say no.
Yeah, which makes you an asshole. She could have easily like texted, called sister-in-law and been like, hey, are you okay with me doing this? I know this was supposed to be your moment. I don't want to take that away from you. I just want to get the green light from you before I agree.
Well, it depends on how much she wanted to do it and how much she just did it for mother-in-law. Sounds like she just did it for her mother-in-law, which I don't think that the blame should be put on her.
Yeah, I think it should be because she accepted. I think they're both to blame, honestly.
Okay.
And the mother-in-law literally fat-shaming her in front of family out at dinner.
Yeah, see, mother-in-law is the asshole.
Yeah, they both are, though.
Eh. I'm out on that one. Not going to convince me on that one.
Okay, well. Edit. I acknowledge that I should have handled it differently. At the time, I truly didn't think it was a big deal. And from what I've seen, my mother-in-law is not cruel to her daughter or fat-shaming her behind the scenes. And from my perspective, they have a very good relationship. Extended family dinners every Friday night, and sister-in-law also goes over her mother's house every Sunday for church services and dinner. They are extremely close. I understand why many people are calling me an ass, but I think the level in which is so extremely blown out of proportion. I genuinely think this will be resolved in a week. I invited my sister-in-law over for dinner to talk, and she agreed and gave me an unprompted apology text for calling my husband about the situation instead of talking to me directly, and said her emotions were high, but she calmed down now, so I'll have to wait a few hours till we have dinner to talk to her. Also, just to reiterate, I wasn't trying to be malicious. My mother-in-law asked me to wear the dress for photos because she wanted to see one of her daughters in the dress before she died and didn't want to wait 20 years for a grandkid to do it. She also didn't want the dress altered. Well, you can't have the cake and eat it too, lady.
Sounds like she got it.
I sent mother-in-law this Reddit post and she didn't respond to me yet, though. I also showed my husband. He is not taking anything seriously, though. He kind of just giggled at the comments and kept making those divorce, marry the dress type jokes. Divorce, marry the dress type joke?
No idea.
What does that mean?
I don't know. You guys can let us know in the comments.
Divorce, marry the dress.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know why you would show this Reddit post to your mother-in-law. Don't know what you're trying to achieve there. That just sounds like a disaster. Is that the end of the thing?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Yeah, that just sounds like a disaster. Why would you show this to your mother-in-law? And second, yeah, you kind of are an ass. I'll give you that. Like, I'll give you halfway. You're not an asshole.
What?
You're just
what
kind
is
of
the
an
difference?
Ass.
Tell
yeah,
me.
Yeah, maybe like an ass is like you're kind of an idiot.
There's no difference.
Like, you're kind of dumb for, you know, letting mother-in-law convince you of that. You let yourself get put into a sticky situation where maybe you should have said no.
Yeah.
Maybe you should learn when to say no. But I don't think by not saying no, that just makes you an asshole all of a sudden. Assholes are malicious. No, you're an ass. You're an idiot. Assholes are malicious. Malicious intent.
Not always. You can be dumb and still be an asshole.
Yeah, but you can be dumb. But if you're an asshole too, that's because you're malicious about the asshole part. Being dumb doesn't make you an asshole.
Now.
Well, not really. I mean, if you think about it, if you're going to be an asshole, you got to make an effort to be an asshole. That means that takes...
But she did. Like, she knew that the sister-in-law... This moment was for sister-in-law, not her. She's not blood daughter.
Right. But
so she took that moment away from her.
No. Taking the moment away from her would have been saying, oh, mother-in-law, can I wear your dress? You can take the photos with me in
she
it.
She still said yes, and she still did it.
It wasn't her initiation. She didn't take anything away from sister-in-law.
I disagree.
Mother-in-law took it away.
Why are we disagreeing on so many stories recently?
Well,
the last couple of episodes we have.
I feel like you're full of hate for this chick, where it's mother-in-law who should be directed towards.
Well, it's both.
She just didn't know how to say no, and that doesn't make her an asshole.
Yeah, grow a backbone.
Okay.
People who don't know how to say no.
So you're a doormat, and you say yes to everything. That doesn't make you an asshole.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Bro. Yes, it freaking does.
Oh, so before you met me, were you an asshole?
Probably.
Fucking asshole right now. Like, come on. Being a yes person doesn't make you an asshole. You're not going to convince me.
I'm cutting that.
Move it along?
Yeah, let's move the fuck along.
Let's get out of that one. Am I the asshole for refusing to be my best friend's maid of honor and possibly not even attending their wedding? My best friend, let's call her C. She's 32 female, and I, 32 female, have been best friends since college, so going on 14 years now. This morning, she informed me that she is getting married to a man that she met 2 weeks ago. The wedding is scheduled for 2 weeks from now, when they will have known each other for a total of 1 month. I have never even met this man, and neither have her parents or any of her siblings. Oh, they also plan to conceive as soon as biologically possible after the wedding. Only 2 to 3 days of the 2 weeks they've known each other, they have actually seen each other in person. I advised her that as her best friend, it is my duty to tell her when I think she is making a mistake. Mm-hmm. I begged her to give it some time before she marries him, because if he is really the right person, it won't change between now and 6 months to a year from now. I told her that she has no idea what he is like as a partner after only 2 weeks. She refuses to listen and insists on going through the wedding. I told her that I cannot stand by her as a maid of honor during a wedding that I don't support. I might be the asshole because she really wants me to be there, and I am really close with her family as well. So if they support this, which, by the way, I don't think they're going to support it, they will want me there as well. She is a grown adult, and I can't tell her what to do, but I can't stand here and watch her do this. So am I the asshole refusing to be the maid of honor? And would I be the asshole for not even attending the wedding at all?
Oh my God. Okay. Well, you said your piece. You told her how you feel. You can only do so much. You can't force her not to get married. You can't force her not to procreate with this man. I would say you have to stand by her, because it's not like...
I don't think so. She's not married to her. She doesn't know her shit. There's no duty on the line.
You don't have to... Okay. It's not something like they got an argument and they're at odds with each other, so they're no longer friends. It's just that she doesn't agree with the wedding, which is different than, okay, you pissed me off, I'm not going to come to your wedding anymore. It's different.
She kind of pissed her off.
But it, again, it has nothing to do with her. I totally agree. It's a stupid
idea. If it has nothing to do with her, then she doesn't need to be there.
I don't know either.
I'm fucking out, bro.
I feel like you should still, just because you're there to support your friend doesn't mean like you have to support the marriage. Like, I don't know, you're there for her. She's been a best friend of how long? Like a long time. Don't miss the, like,
maybe
the
I
important
would,
day.
Yeah, maybe I would still go just to see how a disaster it ends up being, you know? I want front row seat to the shit show.
It's definitely, well, I mean, like, I say that this is a stupid idea, but then I love shows like Love is Blind. Like, this is basically like Love is Blind. Oh my God, they get married after 4 weeks.
I've not even seen each other's face. It's the dumbest thing I've ever fucking seen.
No, well, they propose to each other without seeing each other.
Dumb.
And then they live together, I think it's like 2 weeks. No, it's 4 weeks after they get proposed to.
And then I'm not a fan of any of those shows, so.
I love it.
I fucking hate it.
I eat it up. I'm a reality trash monster. Reality TV.
I like reality TV. I just don't like the ones where they're marrying each other.
You like the game shows.
Yeah. That's competitions. Different. Win some money.
That's different. I like the drama, the relationship stuff.
I don't like it because I believe true love will happen to you in the right time at the right moment and not you forcing it to happen.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, you're saying you believe in fate and all of that?
Kind of, essentially, yeah.
I remember I asked you this a couple years ago and you said no.
I believe in cause and effect. Mm. And I believe that if your intention is to get into a relationship, then you are just going to pick the first person that seems like they're acceptable. You're like trying so hard to make something happen that you are missing the opportunity of the right person.
That could be true, but... Just because I watch it doesn't mean I support them. It's just fun to watch.
I don't understand how you can mentally watch that stuff.
Because I love it. I live for the drama.
I don't understand how.
I've told you this before, but people who watch reality TV, this has been studied. People who watch reality TV are smarter.
Not and, that kind of reality TV. They should redo the survey with that just, kind of show.
They just said we're smarter. And it's because we don't have enough drama in our own lives, which is great.
Well, I guess,
so it's because you don't cause me enough drama.
I'll give you some drama.
That's why we started this podcast, for all the drama.
Drama! Yeah.
So what's the overall vote?
Not getting on board with that one. Not the asshole.
Not the asshole for not attending. Wow, interesting.
Mm-hmm. I got a nice little juicy update for you.
Oh, okay. Tell me.
Short and sweet.
They got divorced.
Update. Thanks for everyone that commented. Since this post, my bestie has been formally diagnosed with bipolar disorder. She is seeing her doctor regularly and is on the road to recovery. I'm so proud of her and I'm really grateful to all of you.
That's sad.
We still don't know if the wedding's still on or off.
Yeah, tell us.
I don't know. There's no update for that.
I was actually thinking like maybe she was either being coerced into it, like manipulated into it, and I don't know, by the husband or fiance.
What if?
Or there was something wrong. What if she has a brain tumor? Don't say that.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's what you were going to say.
What if he's filthy rich?
I mean, I'd do it.
I'm getting in on that. Go for it. I'll support this.
Exactly.
Like the wedding is like a flyaway wedding in Dubai or Maldives.
Yeah.
And everybody gets a free car for attending.
Imagine.
What if he's like a prince?
Major leaps of assumptions here.
I'm just saying, if that was the case, I'd be on board. But if she's like, I just met this guy the other week,
something in it for you,
and he's like bro gas. Like, no, this is a bad idea.
That's not nice.
I know, but like, money changes things. My bad.
Okay,
moving along.
Yeah,
all right, let's go.
Am I the asshole for calling my brother a hypocrite for refusing to come to my wedding because it's child-free? I, female 27, am due to get married to my partner, male 28, this summer. Situation is that my brother, Josh, male 32, is refusing to come to the wedding, and I think he's being unreasonable and childish. Our wedding is going to be child-free with no kids under the age of 13-ish. The youngest guest will be around 12 to 13 years old at the time of my wedding. My partner and I don't hate children, and we had multiple reasons for having our wedding this way. Me, personally, I think that weddings are mostly boring, unenjoyable experiences from the point of view of small children, so it's hardly surprising that they will act up. Josh has two kids, aged 5, twins, and he has made many comments that we are selfish for having a child-free wedding, and that if we aren't inviting his kids, he is not going. I can understand his perspective, but I think he's not making any effort to understand ours. When Josh got married 7 years ago, he and his wife also had a child-free wedding. Last weekend, we attended a family party. It was someone's birthday, and some family members brought up the topic of my upcoming wedding. Josh scoffed the whole time and made comments that he wouldn't know about it because he's excluded. His comments caused short, awkward silences, but no one responded to them. Later, when I was talking to Josh alone, I told him he's still invited to the wedding, and he and his wife can go or not. Those are his options, and him making snide comments aren't going to change the plans. He said that I'm alienating his children, and that they will be very sad about this when they're older, and that they would love to be flower girls. I called him a hypocrite and told him to grow the hell up, and that was the end of the conversation. Our parents are now getting involved, and my dad told me that he and my stepmom will not be at the wedding if Josh isn't. I'm not close with him for unrelated reasons, and our relationship is rocky at best, so I just told him that's up to him. My mom is asking me to just make an exception for Josh's kids. She said that I'm acting like a narcissist and that we all have to make compromises sometimes. Am I the asshole?
Narcissist or hypocrite? You had a wedding, it was child-free, and then you had two kids, and now you're so surprised when somebody else wants to have a child-free wedding, so you're a fucking hypocrite, like, fuck you. And then father and stepmother said, we're not gonna show up, you show up. Don't fucking show up, bro! Bye. I don't give a fuck. Bye.
Exactly.
Like, I don't even have a good relationship with you anyway, and you think you can threaten me with the fact that you're not going to show up if he's not there? Bye. You're no longer even invited, even if he does come. You're now disinvited. You try to pull that shit on me? Doesn't matter if I allow kids to come. You literally are no longer allowed to come. And brother-in-law or brother, like, don't you want an opportunity to leave your fucking kids with a babysitter? I know,
literally.
Give yourself a fucking break. They're five.
Yeah.
They're not going to remember anything, bud. I don't remember shit when I was five. You know what I did when I went to weddings? When I was like six, seven, all my cousins were getting married. Miranda got married. Charlene got married. They all got married. All right. I slept underneath the tables. Yeah. Every single one, I was always sleeping underneath the channels. I can tell you for a fact, they're boring as fuck for kids. Like, yeah. I remember those because I was a little bit older, like 8, 9, 10, something like that. And I remember everybody's dancing. I can only eat pretzels and drink Coca-Cola. And I'm fucking tired.
Yeah.
It's 9 o'clock. I'm sleeping under the table. I'm sleeping under every single... I went to like 3 weddings over like 2 years, 4 weddings, whatever. Every single one, I'm sleeping under the table.
Never failed.
Yeah. It literally never failed. They're like, where's Denver? They're like, check under the table. Oh, there he is. Boom. Bullseye.
Bullseye.
Yeah. I guaranteed I was sleeping underneath our table. Because like the tablecloth would always come all the way to the floor.
Long, yeah.
And I would be underneath there, my own little private fort, balled up. Fetal position, sleeping. Like, yeah, no, you're not the asshole. Stick to your guns. Brother, like you said, you can show up or not show up. I don't care. But stop guilt tripping me, especially when you had a child-free wedding. You're a hypocrite piece of shit. Mm-hmm. And my dad, who I don't even have a good relationship with, you think you can twist my arm and say, oh, if he's not allowed to come, then I'm allowed to come. Bitch, he's allowed to come. His kids aren't allowed to come. And now that you've said that, consider yourself off the guest list. Uninvited. Regardless of what happens with my brother, dude. Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you covered all the points. There's not really much else to say.
That's but right.
Yeah, I think the five-year-olds, they're not going to grow up and wonder, oh my God, why was I never at Auntie's wedding? Yeah. You would have never remembered anyways.
You're not going to know shit.
They're not going to hate you for that. Like,
yeah.
You are just being a sour little bitch.
Grow up.
Yeah, like literally grow up.
I would be like, if you're going to be such a hypocrite, I literally don't give a fuck if you're there. Like, you're a piece of shit. You're a hypocrite. Yours was child free. I want mine child free too. Like, fuck you, buddy.
Okay, there is an edit.
It makes me angry.
Yeah. Edit. Multiple people have been asking, so I'll add it to the post. Josh and I are 2 out of 7 kids.
Holy shit.
At the time of Josh's wedding, 3 of our siblings had young children / babies, and so did our step-siblings.
And I bet you they're all on her side. I'd hope.
Well, I don't know, but...
Well, then they're probably all on her side.
They probably are.
The fact that their mom is like, can't you make an exception? Like, fuck off. Fuck off.
So yeah, so he excluded his nieces and nephews from his wedding.
Yeah.
That's fucked.
Fuck you, buddy.
Yeah.
You're a piece of shit.
Top comment. Info. Has he said he regrets having done a child-free wedding, or is he avoiding explaining his changes of mind on the topic at all? OP responds, he hasn't said that he regrets it. He just told me that was his choice at the time, and it was a long time ago. Stupid.
Listen. You're a hypocrite. You need to, if you're going to behave some way, don't expect other people to behave differently.
Yep. Period.
Period. That's it. Stamped. Case closed. Moving on.
Mic drop.
Boom. Am I the asshole for wanting a sunrise wedding? Every year on our anniversary, my fiance and I wake up early to go to the beach and watch the sunrise together. It's a very special tradition, as we have both overcome a number of personal challenges during our time together, and the symbolicness of watching a new day begin is deeply meaningful for us. We decided we wanted to incorporate this into our wedding. Our plan is to have our ceremony on the beach and have everyone walk over to the beachfront restaurant for breakfast, Bloody Marys and mimosas. As we've already talked to the restaurant owner about this, who loves the idea and said that he'd be happy to open early for us. After that, everyone is free for the remainder of the day. Our friends and family are mostly local and should all be able to travel to the beach in under an hour, except for some of the extended family members flying in from Canada, but that's unavoidable.
Based on our geographic location and the date of the wedding next summer, we've scheduled the ceremony to start for 5:30 a.m.
Oh.
When there would be plenty of light, but the sun itself wouldn't quite yet be visible. We've been getting a lot of backlash from our families about this, who say this is way too early and we need to move the ceremony to a more normal time of the day. But my fiance and I don't feel like we're asking for anything that is that unreasonable. Am I the asshole?
No.
You don't think so?
You know what I'm going to say.
It's your wedding. Do what you want.
It is, though.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stand by the no alcohol, no additional additional drinks besides water approach.
Oh, because if you guys are new to our series here at our Thread Talk podcast and you haven't listened to episode 5, please go to episode 5 because in that story, there's one where they want to not only not serve alcohol, but no coffee, no tea, no pop. The only thing that they want to serve at their wedding is water. And Teresa's like, I stand by that because it's your wedding. You can do what you want.
Yeah. And I
disagreed with her and so did everybody.
Not everybody. There were some people that agreed with me.
Oh, 3 people out of 1,000 agreed with you? Oh.
A good chunk did, which was surprising to me.
No.
I think it's your wedding. If that's a special moment for you to have it at sunrise, then do it.
Yeah. No.
If they don't want to come.
Yeah, I'm not coming.
Don't come.
I'm not
coming. That's all. It's simple. It's really easy, actually.
Yeah.
It would be the same as saying, okay, if you guys don't want to come, like, we're eloping. You're not inviting anyway. You're not invited anyways.
Well, I mean, we're going to, yeah. I mean, like, we're going to Italy, and there's certain people that we're going to invite. But if they don't want to come and they can't make it, like, that's okay. That's your choice. And we're going to Italy to have our wedding. You want to have your wedding at 5:30 in the morning? It's your wedding. Do what you want. But I don't expect me to be there unless you're like
fine. I'm sure they
Madison or Kat or
I'm sure Unch. They know.
Yeah. But like, I don't think they should be surprised that there's a lot of backlash. Like, buddy, it's so early in the morning.
It is.
Weddings are not easy processes. And just because it's symbolic to your relationship doesn't mean it has to be your wedding. Keep doing that for your anniversaries. Why do you have to make the rest of your family suffer? If you want that to be that way, then just do it low key and don't be surprised when people are like, don't really want to be there.
I agree. Like, you shouldn't be surprised that people are giving you backlash for it. I think maybe you could have just kept it a small wedding instead of like having people fly out from freaking Canada to
the States. Also, like, you're inviting aunts, uncles, parents, maybe grandparents. Those people are old. It's not easy for them to like move around so early in the morning, get there, beach, all that stuff that early in the morning. Like, that's a hassle, especially for people as they get older. Like, it's not easy.
Yeah.
You're being really difficult. You are making the wedding extremely difficult. And weddings are not actually only for you. Weddings are for the people that you invite to share the moment with. If you want the wedding to be only for you, and you're not going to consider anybody else, go elope. But if you want people to be there, they want people to go. They want people there, then you need to understand that you have certain expectations on you for a wedding. You want people to be there, you need to give them more than just water. You want people to be there?
Hey, no.
Maybe a sunrise, 5:30 in the morning isn't the best idea. Kind of cute on paper, but realistically,
I don't know. I think it's a cool idea.
It's a unique idea. It's unique. I don't know if it's a cool idea.
It does sound like hell, though, because the bride would have to wake up. Like, the bride wouldn't sleep. There's no way. Like, you would have like at least 4 hours of prep, like makeup, hair, and all that.
Yeah. So that's what one of the comments says. Top comment: a good solution is to have a private ceremony with you and your fiance at 5:30, and then have a second ceremony at a much reasonable time for the guests. The first one can be just the two of you reciting your vows to each other, or the two of you with a willing officiant and a handful of close friends and relatives who are willing to join. If having two ceremonies is too costly and unreasonable, then just do the first option with the two of you only, speaking private vows.
Okay, I like that. I think that is a good alternative.
Yeah, exactly. So this person breaks it down. OP is asking that people wake up at roughly 3 a.m. or earlier so they can leave by 4:15 to arrive at 5:15. That's a big ask. And sure, most of the guests can just choose not to go, but a lot of people are going to be put in an awkward position because arriving anywhere before 5:30 is a big commitment that they can't back out of without being judged, especially if OP has any bridesmaids, since they'll likely need to spend hours getting ready beforehand.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Like, a lot goes into a wedding. Like, that's a wild idea.
This is, okay, yes. It is a bigger commitment to ask these people to come and have that.
Great idea if it's just you.
Yeah,
and like, I do think maybe your sister or your whatever. But if you're inviting the cousins and the extended family, asking people to fly in from Canada, this is not a good idea. This is a great, cute idea if you want, like, instead of doing a courthouse wedding, this is the kind of wedding that we're going to do. I feel like it's all about the people that you're inviting is changing the perspectives on this.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
Overall vote is everyone sucks.
Hmm. Who's everyone?
I don't know.
Like the guests?
Apparently. No, buddy. I don't think the guests suck. It's not unreasonable to not want to go to a wedding for 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to the water story. Like, this is definitely a bigger commitment to ask of your guests. The water story, you can survive a couple of hours with just freaking water.
I'm not getting into this with you. We're moving on. I'm not even giving you the satisfaction of its fucking reply, rebuttal. I'm done with you and this story.
Fine. Am I the asshole for telling my sister-in-law she can't use my bridal suite for her kid? My, female 31, and my fiance, male 35, are getting married. His brother, male 41, and his bro's wife, female 34, are due to have a baby any day now. By the time we get married, the kid will be 7 or 8 months old. We live an hour away from my in-laws, brother, sister, mother, and father. The wedding will be 4 to 5 hours away from us all. 2 months prior to telling us that they were expecting, we had a convo where in very clear terms they told us, children are not in our immediate future. At the time, they were living with her parents. She's an only child, and he had switched jobs. So you can imagine we were very happy, but also confused, as they went from no kids, we aren't ready for, to we're cooking up a kid. We are having a child-free wedding. The only exception we've made to this is my future nephew. My fiance asked his brother to be his best man. My sister-in-law is not involved in any part of the day except to be my brother-in-law's plus one. Originally, my mother-in-law said that she would plan my bridal shower with my mom. She casually mentioned to me one day that she didn't have the bandwidth to host my bridal shower as she will be helping with childcare for sister-in-law. I don't understand how the two are related, but my mom will plan a perfectly fine bridal shower without my mother-in-law. I pushed my wedding dress shopping date back because my mother-in-law didn't want to spend 2 weekends traveling for dress shopping and a baby shower. My fiance expected that his brother would plan a bachelor party. Up until recently, the plan was to take an international trip. But now that he will be a father, he won't travel far. My fiance is not happy about this and has argued some of the domestic destinations they are selecting are further than the international places. Now that the baby is due to be here any day, my brother-in-law has preemptively requested that we give them the bridal suite, the space on the site at the venue where we can get ready, refresh, and relax, access to care for the baby. We were both upset. I am okay with having their child at my wedding because I know how attached parents can be, but I am not okay with making accommodations for a child that could just as easily be not at my wedding. My sister-in-law is an only child, so we offered to invite her parents, understanding that they would be at the Airbnb and take care of the baby. They didn't like that option, even though the Airbnb is booked, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this. It is around the corner from the venue. We offered them ceremony-only options, so during cocktail hour, they can leave. They did not like this option. It is clear that the priorities of my fiance's family have become this child. I do not want to be resentful of this baby or my sister-in-law. Yet, before we finalize our menu, we are being asked how we can make our wedding comfortable for a baby we didn't expect would be there. Am I the asshole for saying, no, you cannot use the amenities that are provided to us as a bride and groom to give your kid some milk and a nap?
No, you can find other rooms.
I'm sure, or other solutions. This is the bridal suite. This is the wedding. I would go maybe full tilt, and I would just go elope. Be like, yeah, I'm fucking out.
Well, just because of one baby?
No, not because of one baby. All the fucking drama around it with all the people who agree with them and stuff.
Then they're winning.
All right, true. So just say no. Say fuck off.
Yeah, 100%.
No, not the asshole. No, you don't get bridal suite. No bridal suite for you.
Yeah, it's just very entitled. And yeah, it does seem like everything is revolving around them and their baby and whatever. You have to make those accommodations. You have to figure it out. Yes.
Grow up. Figure it out. You're an adult. That's on you.
You're a parent.
You wanted the little fucking baby. You wanted to be a parent. Now it's your job to figure this shit out. Don't expect everybody to cater to you.
Exactly. 100%. Like, you signed up to having a kid. Don't expect everyone to walk around you. The world does not revolve around you.
Exactly.
Yeah, this one made me mad. Overall vote, not the asshole. Top comment, not the asshole. If it gets to be too much, you can always tell your sister-in-law that maybe it's best that they don't bring the child. Prepare for a shitstorm, weather it out, and when it's all done, you will either find your sister-in-law and maybe your mother-in-law will boycott your wedding, or they will be grateful that you're willing to relent and allow them to bring the child at all. Just remember, it's not your mom or sister, it's your soon-to-be husband's. Let him worry about their relationship. You worry about your boundaries and not letting his family walk all over you.
Yeah, 100%. It's his family. Let him set the boundary of what he wants to do with this situation. Don't stress about it too much. Be like, buddy, that's your side. You get to deal with it. Have fun.
100%. Yeah, I fully agree that like people, like husband and wife, should deal with their own family issues themselves.
Yeah.
It should not be on the other spouse.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And yeah, I completely agree with this comment because I would have said, okay, sorry, if this is causing too many problems, your child's not invited anymore. Mm-hmm. We already made the exception for your child.
Exactly.
Now you're being unappreciative. And so now your baby's not invited anymore.
Yep.
And then, yeah, either they will boycott and then they won't come, which is a win.
Their own problem.
Or they will beg and say, okay, I'm sorry. We don't want the suite anymore. Can we please just bring our baby?
They'll figure it out.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea.
I agree. All right. Let's move along. This one is not actually from Reddit, but it is a pretty good story that I wanted to tell that I saw a while ago, and I thought this would be great for the podcast. So
okay, let's hear it.
Bride-to-be refuses to let her stepfather give her away, promoting a financial dispute. So according to the stepdad, his daughter just graduated from college. He paid for her education to the tune of $40,000. He has also bought her a car after she finished high school. The daughter still lives with her stepdad and her mother, and she does not have a job at the moment. She was set to be married in August, and for over 6 months, the whole family was indulged in planning the wedding. Her biological father does not contribute anything to her upkeep. Nevertheless, the daughter adores him, even after he made promises that he never fulfilled in her whole life. The daughter invited 250 people to her wedding. The stepdad told her that he had a list of 20 people he wanted to invite to the wedding, and he was the one paying for the entire wedding and providing the venue. Later, when the stepdad asked one of his friends if they would be able to attend the wedding, he was told that he never even received an invite. The stepdad talked to his wife, and she told him that she did not invite any of the 20 people on his list. She told him 250 people was a little tight, but they would invite the ones on his list if the others did not RSVP. The stepdad was pissed. When he checked the invitations he paid for, they did not have his name on it, but the name of her mother and biological dad's names were printed. A couple of days later, the stepdad was hosting the wedding party at his house and was surprised when the real father showed up. The stepdaughter stood up and announced that her real father would give her away at the wedding, and this took the stepdad by surprise. The stepdad also decided to make a toast to the bride and her fiancé. He then addressed his girlfriend and his stepdaughter. In his speech, he told them he was grateful they had shown him his real position in the family. He told them that he realized that they were treating him like an ATM. He let them know he was no longer supporting the wedding financially, as he was relinquishing his role to the real dad. Later that night, the mother came to him to tell him how he was ruining everything by backing out and withdrawing his financial support. She showed him all of the preparations they had made to give her daughter her dream wedding. The stepdad was annoyed to learn that all the daughter-dad dances were scheduled with the real dad. The stepdad was also allergic to two of the food options listed. He let them know he would not be attending or financing the wedding. He also decided to kick them out of his house, bringing an end to a 10-year relationship. That's essentially like the cliff notes, I guess, of this story that I listened to on, it was on Reddit, and no, it was on TikTok, and it was, the stepdad was posting the story of like his, what's happening to him. And he was just outrageous the way that he was being treated by them. He was literally just the bank accounts for them.
I don't think you're going to like my take.
You don't think I'm going to like it? Why? What's your take?
I feel like it's okay that she still has a relationship with her biological dad, and
nothing
she,
wrong with that.
She wants him to be the, have the father-daughter dance and all of that.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
I think that's completely fine. And I also think that it's okay that she didn't want to invite her stepdad's friends. I think just because he's financing the wedding, which is very nice, it's like an awesome thing to do, I just don't think that should come with expectations or what's the word, I can't think of words today, with a clause basically saying like, okay, well, I'm financing, so I want to have this, this, and this. I think maybe it should have been a conversation up front where he should have said that, okay, if I'm going to pay for this, then I want to say in this, this, and this.
I just think there is a lot of things like the menu, the venue, the invitations, like everything. It was not a single thought was given towards him. They didn't even tell him they weren't going to invite the people that he wanted to invite.
Yeah.
No communication, no respect for him. And that's what he felt. And that's why he canceled everything. Like,
no, I
agree.
He's
literally paying for everything. You're not even paying for anything for your own wedding. You don't have a job. You're expecting him to pay for it. You're not even taking into consideration for him. You can't even put in a father-daughter dance with him to show your appreciation for everything that he's done.
I don't think so. I don't think you deserve a father-daughter dance because you're throwing money at it.
I think he does. No, I think he does. Like, they, at minimum, you should show some appreciation for the person who's literally paying for everything. Listen, if he's the stepdad or the mother's boyfriend and you're having your wedding and you're doing everything and you didn't ask him for anything, then you don't owe him anything. But if he's paying the $50,000 for the wedding...
Did she ask, though? Or did he offer? I think that makes a difference. Because if he just offered, of course she's going to say, yeah, sure, amazing.
No, she asked.
Did it say that?
He pays for everything. Pay for her school, pay for the car, she's paying for the wedding.
I don't know, because...
Bro, she wouldn't be having a wedding without him.
I feel like he... I don't know.
Yep. You don't know. It's a wild story. Dude felt like an ATM and he's like, I'm out.
And that's totally fine that he said that. I'm not saying that he shouldn't have done that. Like 100%, like he should. He's feeling disrespected and he should have pulled the plug on it.
Good.
And he did. Good. Oh, good. I think I said could.
Good.
Yeah. But I just feel like just because he is paying for everything, doesn't mean, I don't know, doesn't mean he should have priority over her wants.
Not like, priority, but I think there should be, like, it's not saying priority. You're saying priority as if he's like, I want the colors to be this. I want the menu to be this. And I want this because I'm paying for it.
I don't think the father-daughter dance.
I'm saying that there should be an appreciation. I'm not saying necessarily the father-daughter dance, but it's like kind of a show of appreciation, like that you supported me. You did all this stuff. Like, I appreciate you. I love you enough. And I like that I'm going to give you a father-daughter dance. And the fact that it's not even, that's like the cherry on top of the disrespect is canceling that, not having that in. You can't even tell him like, hey, the venue's tight. We don't have enough room for these people. Rude. We'll do what we can. The fact that the favorite food, like he's allergic to two of them. Like you're not even making any consideration that's for him. Nice. It's one after another, after another, after another. And the father-daughter dance is like the cherry on top of the fucking shit cake.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe if I saw like the full details from the TikTok, I feel like there's a couple things that need to be clarified. But in the end, I don't think, even though you're providing the money for the wedding, I don't think you should have a right to like who's invited and the father-daughter dance. I think the father-daughter dance should be saved for the dad that she wants to have that to share that moment with. And if she values her biological dad's relationship more, I think that's fine.
I disagree. All right. Well, that is all we have for our part two wedding series. There's a couple stories on here that we didn't get through. So maybe in another 3 months, we'll do a part three to the wedding ones, if any more stack up on our list here.
I just feel like the wedding ones are so juicy. There's endless amounts of stories. Yeah,
the wedding ones are good. They're good.
Yeah.
Oh, weddings just have so much drama surrounding them. This is a drama theme.
Like, it's so true. Yeah. And it's supposed to be like such a like a day full of love.
Yeah.
But it's just like stress and drama.
Bro, weddings are always stress. Like we went to Madison's wedding, went to Kat's wedding. We were kind of like behind the scenes, like, bro, nonstop stress for them. It's a stressful day. It's supposed to be an amazing day for you, but like I feel like it's the most stressful for the bride and groom to make sure everything's perfect. It's like
that's why I'm happy we're doing a small wedding.
Small.
No expectations. I don't have to impress anybody. That's why.
Yeah.
Keeping expectations low.
And we are visiting our wedding venue in July. Mm-hmm. We are going to Italy for a week and checking out our wedding venue and the Taylor Swift concert. And we are going to be doing a vlog of that, so the venue and everything. So if you guys want to stay up to date, you guys can check us out on our travel YouTube channel. I'll leave a link description below. It's always linked. You can just, you know, YouTube, Google, Trenton, Denver, and Teresa, and we pop right up. Yeah, that's all I've got. Thank you guys so much for the support. Hope you guys smash the like button on YouTube and subscribe on YouTube and follow us everywhere else. And
please give us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts if you're feeling generous.
Especially Apple Podcasts, because I think we only have like four.
We have four.
Yeah, we're like four. Spotify, reviews.
We have 80. Most right
people
now.
Listen on Spotify.
No, our statistics say like it's 55% Spotify, 45% Apple Podcasts. So it's so odd. Yeah. And Apple Podcasts, you can leave a comment.
Yeah, I do
only
prefer.
If you're being nice.
I listen to all my podcasts on Apple Podcasts.
Me too.
I don't even use Spotify.
I never use Spotify.
It's interesting.
I'm an Apple girly. I'm Apple Music, Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, I'm Apple everything too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your support and for listening.
I hope you guys enjoyed this bonus Friday episode.
Yes. Hopefully we'll do more of these in the future.
Let us know if you guys want us to do more of these. Maybe we can get an extra one or two episodes in per month or something. Maybe other week or something. I don't know. It depends on how much time we have.
It's just a lot of editing.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys so much. And we'll see you on the next scheduled Thread Talk Tuesday.
Yes. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.